Hey everybody, welcome to Bald Move TV, the officially unofficial podcast for all of television, and where we ponder the most important question of our lifetime, who won the week?
This is a diminished week.
Three television shows have entered. Only two will leave the ring this week because Leftovers is done.
Oh, okay.
So between, yeah. We had a Better Call Saul episode, Fall. The penultimate episode of both these televisions.
That's true,
and,
yeah.
The penultimate episode of season three of Fargo. What was that? Agapio? Arapio?
Aporia?
Aporia.
Yeah.
Who won the week, Jim?
This is probably the closest it's ever been because you always had the ringer of the Leftovers.
Right.
And these were both really excellent episodes.
Did the Leftovers ever not win a week with you? I know they didn't win one in favor of a Fargo week for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might have been the Matt week didn't win
right.
it for me because
okay.
I was all less right. than thrilled with a good chunk of that episode.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, The Ringer was always the Leftovers. So these shows both had really good episodes, I thought, this week.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, difficult to watch.
Yes.
But important and also, you know, captivating. I mean, it's... Even negative emotions when watching a show can be a positive for the show, right? And yeah. And I felt like Better Call Saul really hammered home how much we should not like this character,
yeah,
as much as we do. And then Fargo had a really excellent episode, kind of all around. I mm-hmm. think there was, you know, maybe some small stuff. I don't know. I mean, I want to try and judge this more as an episode, not as like what it does to the season.
Yeah.
The Gloria developments were good. I wanted to know more about her since episode one. I've now got some more. I thought the Emmett stuff was really, really strong. And Nikki blew me away this week. So
yeah,
I think probably this week it goes to Fargo if I had to just go with my gut right now.
I agree because you hit on something about what a part of this job is how much you enjoyed something. And
sure.
While I felt very strong emotion and I felt like the Better Call Saul, the manipulation of poor Irene and to a lesser yeah. extent Nacho's father was heart-wrenching and I felt a lot of genuine emotion that I might not even have felt on Fargo.
Yeah.
It was not fun to watch. It was very brutal. And whereas on Fargo was a lot of fun to watch. Like this Nikki and Mr. Wrench traveling roadshow is top notch. I love yep. the musical number that accompanies it. They have built this Varga character into a mythological villain
mm-hmm.
that is kind of amazing to watch, and they are also I don't know, there's action, there's humor, there's just like you said, the performance of Ewan McGregor, I think it's his finest to date, and he's had a lot of good performances, and some of it was like stunt kind of like twin camera trick performances
mm-hmm.
which I don't think are the easiest thing in the world to do when you're playing off yourself. It's not even there,
sure,
but his confession scene with Gloria,
he's used to it, though. He
was really amazing.
He was in Star Wars. He's
yeah.
used to interacting with things that aren't there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw him hug a forearm fry cook.
Right.
And sell it, kind of. But, yeah, I think he just did amazing. Like, that's some of the best work he's done on the show. And also, yeah. I think it's one of the best written pieces. In a season, it's got a lot of well-written monologues.
Yeah, when you talk about well-written, I mean, Varga stands
yeah.
out for sure.
Yeah.
But Emmett held his own in this episode.
He did. And they set and it's very rare that I don't have an inkling of what's going to happen in a final episode.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, Fargo is really delivering on that front.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to give Better Call Saul short shrift because I feel like a lot of the stuff that I've said about especially about not knowing what's going to happen. Like, I honestly don't know what this final episode of Better Call Saul is going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff they did with Kim in Better Call Saul was... My hat's off to the editor of this thing. Like,
yeah.
you know, I was always throwing kudos at Kelly Dixon during Breaking Bad's editing because I think she contributed in a huge way to the success of that show. And I think Skip, I think his last name is McDonald, is doing just an incredible job here. The way they edited that final scene blew me away. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. The visceral sort of negative reaction I have to watching Saul be Saul in the worst way possible is overshadowed by the joy I feel with Nikki being Nikki, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's Better Call Saul is kind of a bummer. Now, it's intentionally a bummer. It's supposed to be a bummer. I think if you've got a heart, it hits you in that spot, and that's not valuable. But if we're splitting hairs between the quality of these shows, then I gotta go with Fargo.
Okay, Fargo unanimously.
It'd be interesting to see what they do end up doing that with next week.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to say, or can I interject another topic?
I have not seen last week's Silicon Valley. Is that about to end?
It is. I think next week's the finale.
Next week? Okay, maybe we'll do it next week. We'll
talk a little bit about that. Okay, I don't want to spoil you on it because, I can't say anything without spoiling
okay.
on it.
All right.
I've seen the first 6 episodes of this season's House of Cards.
House of Cards. All right. I heard you were nonplussed.
The first episode or two, I mean, it's... I don't think I'd seen it the last time we talked. I'd heard people talking about it.
Oh, okay.
This show is ridiculous. And as it seems like it's trying to be both an answer to what's currently going on in politics, because they've got this, you know, stand in for Putin who is taking advantage of this electoral, craziness that's going on with Frank doing a bunch of false flag operations where he's stoking domestic fears of terrorism in a desperate bid to cling to the presidency. But it's just some of the old magic's missing. Like, every single episode, Frank, Claire, and Doug goes in and swings their dicks. I know that Claire doesn't have one, but she does somehow. Swings their dicks in front of powerful businessmen, political people, just beats them around the heads and shoulders, and it always works.
Yeah.
Even when there's no real leverage that they have at this point. And that's the ridiculous part. The thing that's amazing, though, is it still kind of works.
Yeah.
It's really fun to see Kevin Spacey chew the scenery. It's really fun to see Robin Wright just lithely moving from scene to scene.
It sounds fun to see Stamper stamping. I hear Stamper is
stamping out of control. He's trying to stamp over Neve Campbell, and she's not having any of it. He's also stamping harder but delivering half as much. And Frank called him on the carpet and questioned his loyalty, which Stamper rightfully started stamping around the Oval Office. He got mad.
I kind of have to watch it.
It's fun. It's just, but you're just going to, like, I belly laugh 2 or 3 times at things that I can't even tell what they expect me to swallow.
Right.
At this point, because there's just some really shameful shit. And, it's also, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess at first it was really hard to have fun watching a political television show. The first episode, Frank comes in to a heated a House meeting with all the House of Representatives as the president, and demands them to declare war on terrorism.
I saw that. I tried to halfway background watch the first episode.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Just because he wore his congressional pin. And, like, there's As crazy as American politics has gotten right now, and it's gotten fucking bonkers, there's just some shit that's still, like, can you imagine?
Is it supposed to be satire? Like,
that's the thing. Like, I do not know what is supposed to be funny and what's not, because it's just, like, Claire, poor Donald Blythe, who has been Francis's whipping boy since season one. She makes him hit her whipping boy. And the thing is in this latest episode I watched, it's like episode 5 or 6, Will Conroy, is that his name? Conway?
The other bid for president.
The Republican governor is running for president. He's turned into, like, the fucking Phantom of the Opera.
Has he?
And he threatens his campaign staffer, like the Doug Stamper equivalent, who I think is also the CEO of Polyhop, which is the Google stand-in.
And that's not the jazz guy, right?
The jazz guy. No, that's the guy who's the NSA. He's the elite hacker, data analyst. That's somehow infiltrated.
No, not Jimmy Simpson.
No, I know.
Okay.
The lanky jazz guy looking weird guy.
It's been a while.
government issue face man has had a big play, I'm saying this: Claire took Donald Blythe and just for no good reason gave this speech right before he's supposed to go into the House and like marshal up a vote for her, and says, "You're a spineless and you're ineffective, and we've taken advantage of you, and we've lied to you, and you've been principled, and you're dumb, just as dumb as your dumb dead wife." And that's like a direct quote. It goes on this 2-minute thing, and he just takes it. I'm like, who? And then later on, the CEO of Google tells Will Conroy, he treats him like a child, man. Says, "If you ever talk to me like this, you will never win an election again." I'm like, who is the most powerful person in this show anymore?
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's this Ouroboros snake that just of power that just keeps eating itself. And now, you know, Claire and Frank went at each other really hard last year, and, you know, then they broke up, and then they didn't broke up, and then there was elaborate sex death fantasy, and then they came strong another, but now they're starting to make it seem like Claire is plotting against him to replace him as president.
Okay.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Putin's got a beard? Putin's got a full-on Matt beard from The Leftovers now.
Wow.
But it's really stupid, and the writing's terrible. And it's so soapy, like I was even talking to Cecily. It's like the way this thing is cut and edited, where you'll just like randomly cut away to Doug Stamper in bed with the, you know, person he screwed out of a liver or whatever, a kidney. Do you remember that plot line where the president got shot and he needed a liver?
So he
pushed the president to the top of the list, and he started sleeping with that dead man's wife.
Right.
Like that's a weird thing, and it's really strange.
Yeah, no, it sounds bonkers. I wish there was a way to background watch it and follow the plot, because the plot
it's impossible.
Yeah, it gets too twisty, right?
Like, plus it's like so much, it's so no action and all dialogue that's it confounds your attempts, because you can back, but you'll find 30 minutes like, what the hell? Like, there's two people I don't even recognize screaming at each other.
Yeah.
It's all relevant, and I don't know. But it's just so weird, because it's just like, They seem to want to put Frank. Plus, there's this like the line of the series is Frank and Claire are plotting, essentially destroying America and installing a monarchy. And Frank goes on this speech where it's like, it's going to be Underwood 2016, Underwood 2020, Underwood 2024, Underwood 2028, and he goes up to the 30s, and then he goes, One Nation Underwood. Like, how the fuck do they think they're going to get away with that? And I'm just howling. Oh,
that's
laughing.
Amazing.
But it is amazing. And Kevin Spacey, no one has told him he's no longer on a prestige drama.
Right. He's still doing his Spacey thing.
He's still
thing.
Breaking the fourth wall. I think Claire's starting to break the fourth wall, too.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Like, I think she actually, because, you know, in the last episode they both looked at straight in the camera, and I know she's done that again. I think she actually said something like, I've been waiting to talk, and she actually spoke to the audience. I don't know, because I'm watching these super late, and half the time I'm in my cups. But I feel like she broke the fourth wall. It's just gonzo, but it's super entertaining. Wow. It's like late stage True Blood.
Yeah.
Like, this show used to take itself seriously. And, you know, whether it's a reaction to the political climate or whether this has gone on two seasons too long.
I just can't. I can't justify 13 hours right now, you know.
Well, the other thing is,
I can maybe a few months from now.
Yeah.
Late summer, early fall.
But. Yeah. And Hammer's got this special commission on investigating the president, and he's got this up-and-coming hotshot young guy who's able to, like, get people to talk and confess. And he gets this – he picks up something that Hammer completely missed about, like, this Rachel Doug Stamper thing, and brings it to Hammer. And Hammer throws him out of his office and fires him because he broke some minor – and I'm like, what the hell?
He's got his integrity, man. That's all Hammer's got left.
I mean, but he didn't break anything, do anything unethical. It's like, I don't know. I feel like the Hammer's problem is he just hates young people. You know?
He might, yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. Like, he couldn't... Mm-hmm. Was it Chloe? Who was the...
Yeah, Kate Mara. Is that her
name? Yeah, what was her name?
Zoe.
Yeah. It feels like that, like, she manipulated him into calling her a whore, and that got him fired. Like, he's so easy to play. Like, I can't take him serious as a serious, hard-bitten journalist when so many people, you know...
Yeah,
I don't know.
That sucks.
But Remy has gone. You know, he's won an Oscar and for Moonlight, and he's too big for the show now. He's gone. So is the woman who is playing
Jackie.
Yeah, she's gone now. The cast is kind of is now all Conway's and the CEO of Google and Stamper and Claire and and the Hammer.
Yeah, might be time to stamp that show.
I wonder, because I'll probably finish it over the next week, and I'm hoping to finish by the next installment of this, so I can give you a temperature about whether like it's finally dead or not.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you get a chance to watch it, anytime you want to talk about it, I'm up for it because it is hilarious. So, all right, that's all I got to talk about for this week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next week for the final. Who won the week?
Yeah.
Will it be Better Call Saul? Will it be Fargo? Who knows?
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all the
imaginary. Who won the season?
Makes all the imaginary bald move points. Mm-hmm. But we'll see you then. Later.